الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والفجر وليال عشر. وقال تعالى: فلما بلغ معه السعي قال إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى، قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر، ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصالحين الصابرين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشرة. قالوا: يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله؟ قال: ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع من ذلك بشيء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, sisters who may be listening over receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I thought of dedicating today's Jummah discussion to the days and nights that are to dawn upon us from the first of Zulhijjah, which would be Monday, Maghrib time if the moon is sighted. The reality of the matter is that these days and nights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to bless us with, inshallah, are so great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is important to acquaint ourselves with their virtues and their greatness so that we appreciate them. The single most effective prescription to take the ummah out of the plight that they are in any part of the world, in all parts of the world, is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we all need to do. If we look at our conditions, let's not even talk about the ummah at large. Look at our conditions within us. And every person should look into his own life, introspect, and see how far haven't we gone from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas our objective and purpose in life was to be connected with him at all times. Look at how, and this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. Look at how, take a youngster of today, and put him in a house for 2 hours where there's no Wi-Fi connection and no 3G or 4G connection, and see what happens to him. He's in anxiety. He's perturbed. He doesn't know why, because his connection is lost. He doesn't know how to upload anymore. He can't even upload on Facebook that he got no connection. So you lose the connection to the internet, look at how perturbed we become. If we lose our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much more is it to be of concern? But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He blesses us with these sort of opportunities, like the 15th night of Sha'ban, like the month of Ramadan, like the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this opportunity of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And perhaps it has been going by year after year because we don't realize and understand the importance and the virtue of these days. And therefore it's important for us to acquaint ourselves with the virtues of these days. Not in all respects, but in some respects, some ulama have written that if you have to analyze the virtues that have been mentioned of these 10 days and nights, then in some respects it appears as though they might be greater than the days and nights of Ramadan even. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرَةِ. That there are no days and nights in which ibadat, obedience, worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved than these 10 days and nights which are about to dawn upon us. There is no days and nights in which ibadat is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days and nights. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, قالوا يا رسول الله ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. Ya Rasulullah, ibadat is more virtuous in these 10 days and nights. Is it even more virtuous than going out and fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protecting the borders of Islam, jihad, which is considered to be the peak of any form of ibadat? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, not even jihad is more virtuous than ibadat during these 10 days and nights, except with one exception, except that a person goes out in jihad with his life and his wealth, maybe his conveyance, his horse, some money of his, and he doesn't return with either of them. In other words, he's martyred. If he's martyred there, then that's more virtuous. Otherwise, anything else other than that, ibadat is more virtuous in these 10 days and nights. So it does not then behove a Muslim and a believer to allow these 10 days and nights to go by in negligence, in heedlessness, in just passing time, strolling or scrolling or uploading or doing any of these things. It's not time for that. It's time to focus our minds and to do that which will benefit us. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he explains, he says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. There are no days that are greater in the eyes of Allah subhanahu, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he be worshipped in them, other than these 10 days and nights of Zilhijjah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then asks us to do a certain adhkar, certain things that we should be doing when they are so virtuous days. So he says, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, then increase your recitation or your zikr of Subhanallah. Increase your recitation of Alhamdulillah. Increase your recitation of La ilaha illallah. And increase your recitation of Allahu Akbar. The third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba, that which of you have the ability and the capacity to make amal equivalent to the mountain of Uhud every single day of your lives? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, which of us have that ability? The mountain of Uhud is a massive mountain. Which of us have the ability to make so much of amal equivalent to the mountain of Uhud? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you recite Subhanallah once, its reward is greater than the reward of Uhud. And you recite Alhamdulillah once, its reward is greater than the reward of Uhud. And you recite La ilaha illallah once, its reward is greater than the mountain of Uhud. And you recite Allahu Akbar once, its reward is greater than the mountain of Uhud. So these are things that we are supposed to be doing during these 10 days and nights. And then to top it all, there is another hadith, and listen carefully to the virtue that is mentioned in this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that there are no days, again, starting with the very same sort of introduction, that there are no days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to be worshipped more greater than these 10 days and nights of Zulhijjah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, يَعْدِلُ سِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِسِيَامِ سَنَّةٍ. That the fast in any of these days, each day's fast in any of these days, is equivalent in reward to fasting an entire year. To fasting in Ramadan you had to fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, man sama Ramadan thumma atba'ahu sittam min shawwal kana kasiyam ad-dahr. That the person who fasts the month of Ramadan and he follows it up with 6 in Shawwal, it's as though he fasted the year. And here, every single day's fast in the first 9 days, of course it's not permissible to fast on the 10th day because it's the day of Hajj, or the day of Eid. So on the day of Eid, it's not permissible to fast. And the days after it, 11th, 12th, and 13th also, these 4 days of the year, and the day of Eid al-Fitr, it's not permissible to fast. So no matter how much a person fasts with high levels of sincerity, such fasts are not accepted. Because we have to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And fasting on those days is not permissible. But nevertheless, the point is that fasting on any of the 9 days of Zulhijjah, the first 9 days, is equivalent in reward to fasting an entire year. Each day's fast. So you fast for 9 days, 9 years of fasting. وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. And to stand in ibadat, or to stay up in ibadat, on any of the nights, of the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah, is equivalent in reward to keeping up on Laylatul Qadr. Can you imagine? In Ramadan, it was one night, Laylatul Qadr. Which night it was, we didn't know. Towards the end of Ramadan, we start discussing now which night you felt it was. And some people, they even look in the mirror after making ibadat on one of the nights to see how much noor came away on my face. So we don't know which night it was. And here, every night's ibadat, guaranteed that it is equivalent in reward to standing up on Laylatul Qadr. Can you imagine the reward that is there? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in another hadith says that man ahyal layalil khams wajabat lahul jannah. The person who stays up on 5 nights of the year, stays up, of course, in ibadat. It doesn't mean just stays up watching TV or something. Stays up making ibadat on 5 nights of the year. Wajabat lahul jannah. Jannah becomes obligatory, compulsory, wajib for such a person. And 3 of those nights are in these first 10 nights of Zulhijjah. Laylati Tarwiyah, the night of the 8th of Zulhijjah. Laylati Arafah, the night of the 9th of Zulhijjah. And Laylati Nahr, the night of the 10th of Zulhijjah. 8th, 9th and 10th. And the other 2 nights are the night of Eid al-Fitr and the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. Whoever stays up on these nights in Ibadat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the person with Jannat becoming obligatory and wajib for such a person. Can you imagine the rewards? They're not days and nights just to be whiled away or to be allowed to pass by in heedlessness or negligence. If the very least we can do is at least in the night do a little bit more extra. 2 rakats of nafil, 4 rakats of nafil, 6 rakats of nafil, and sleep with the intention of not committing any sins. I'm sure we can do that much. That Ya Allah, we'll sleep with the intention of not committing sins. Inshallah, your night will be written in ibadat. Provided you read your fajr and your isha with jamaat. That much I'm sure every person can do so that he can value. You don't show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days and nights that, you know what, Ya Allah, you're blessing us with these days and nights, but it doesn't matter to us. We're still going to do whatever we have to do. At least show, let there be some sort of concern. Fikr is a very important thing that we should have. Concern, a will to do some. Where there's a will, there's a way to achieve a lot. And you can achieve a lot just by programming yourself. Then there are certain ibadat, certain acts of worship, which are specific to these days and nights. They cannot be done or the same rewards cannot be achieved at any other time of the year. And these ibadat, they start with, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that when the month of Zulhijjah commences, the moon is sighted, and the month of Zulhijjah has commenced, then whoever of you wish to undertake qurbani, then it is better for him not to cut his nails and his hair. It's better for him not to cut off his nails and his hair until his sacrificial animal is sacrificed on either the 10th, 11th or 12th of Zulhijjah. Now, it's not something that is necessary. It's not something that is wajib. It's not something that is obligatory. If you cut your hair and nails, it doesn't mean that your sacrifice is not going to be accepted. It's still accepted. But at no other time of the year is not cutting your hair and nails an ibadat. No other time of the year is it an ibadat. And here, just programming yourself that, you know what, before Monday comes, I must just make sure that my hair and nails are cut. And then you generally don't have to cut it unless someone has very fast growth and he needs to cut it. Then of course it's acceptable and permissible for him to cut his hair and nails. But it's a special type of ibadat. You can't do this ibadat at any other time of the year. So if you can do it, then Mubarak. Then there is another ibadat that we recite after from the 9th of Zulhijjah at Fajr, we say that Takbir al-Tashriq, the day before Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. This Takbir of Tashriq, it is recited after Farz Salah. So, it can be said now, but it is a special ibadat that is done during those days and nights. During the Salah, after those days. And if you miss it out, there's no way you can compensate for it. But it's wajib for those people who are muqeem, who are not traveling. It's wajib for those people who are making a salah in jamaat, which is mustahab. In a jamaat which is mustahab, like when we make in the masjid jamaat, it's wajib for us. It's not necessary for the ladies at home to do it. Although if they do it, there is great virtue for them to do it as well. And my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he gives a very practical sort of example, a way through which the ladies can remember to recite it. Because many a times those who are performing the salah in the masjid, even if they forget, someone in the masjid or the other will say it, so everyone remembers and you recite it one time. But the ladies at home, it only happens for 4.5 days of the year, so you tend to forget. So he said that just write a small note, remember to read your takbir at-tashriq and stick it on the place where you're performing your salah. When you make salam, then you're bound to look at that. At least you'll remember to read the takbir at-tashriq. It's a special ibadat. Once these days and nights go, you can't achieve it then. Then, of course, the hajj, which is such a great ibadat. The lovers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have gone. Hai salatine ihram, hai salatine alam bi ihram mein, ban ke hazir huye hai gadae haram. They go and perform the hajj. They move around. The kings of the world, the poor, all in one garb and with unity, they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world doesn't see such a gathering ever like it sees on the plains of Arafat on the 9th of Zulhijjah. Everyone is crying and seeking forgiveness. And the greatest sin the hadith has on that day is of that person who feels that even on the 9th of Zulhijjah I am not forgiven. Can you imagine the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? It knows no bounds on the 9th of Zulhijjah. But most of the hujjaj have gone and they will be listening to advices regarding their hajj over there. The ibadat that we will be undertaking over here is the ibadat of qurbani, sacrificing the sacrificial animal. Again, it is not a custom or a ritual that is there just to be done. We are supposed to take lessons. My Ustad Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib says that Islam rasmi karwaiyon se balatar hai. Islam is a religion that is beyond just the fulfilling of some rituals or customs. Qurbani is not just a custom so that we can achieve some social welfare program and feed the needy on that day. No. It's not for that. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said that ma hadhihi al-adahi ya Rasulullah. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this qurbani all about? What is the sacrificing of the sacrificial animal? In one home, if there's five adults and five of them are sacrificing, five animals are being slaughtered, what is it all about? Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnat. It was what your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam did. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam outwardly slaughtered a ram. But that wasn't the only sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is what we need to ponder and reflect upon. He at the ripe old age of 90 plus was blessed after years of dua with a son. And then when that son becomes of age, running around, start doing little errands for the father, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي. He says, I'm just giving you a gist of the verse, that oh my little child, I've been told in the dream to slaughter you. So just from there, look at how much of lessons we can take. You do things with mashwara. If it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was a command in this case, but it affected someone else. So you consult with the person. What's your view? That young little child who just started running errands, absolutely masoom, but it shows you the type of tarbiyat and upbringing that child was given. When up till the child reaches that age, we tend to say that, you know what, nallo che. It's still small, the child is still small, you don't have to burden him with these sort of things. But we end up giving them one small, what sort of tarbiyat are we giving our children? One father told me, Mulana, my child wakes up 2 o'clock in the morning. Every day he gets up 2 o'clock. I said, then what you do? He said, no, I just give him the iPad and turn the other side and sleep away. So is that the tarbiyat we're going to give our children? Look at the tarbiyat. This is the sunnat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The tarbiyat that he gave his child, that when he was asked, that oh my little child, oh my young child, Allah Ta'ala asked me to slaughter you, to kill you, to allow your blood to ooze, to flow. Ya abatif al-matu, without batting an eyelid, oh my beloved father, if al-matu umar, go ahead and do what you have been commanded to do. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You will find me from amongst the, if it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, it must be right. And there's so many lessons that you can draw from there. Ye hai ishq mein imtiha kis bashar ka, banaye zabiha jo apne pisar ka. Ye hai ishq mein imtiha kis bashar ka, banaye zabiha jo apne pisar ka. Pidar se hai ejaz qalb o jigar ka, pisar se hai ejaz taslim e sar ka. Tere ishq mein kya gawara nahi hai, tere ishq mein kya gawara nahi hai, koi tujhse barkar pyara nahi hai. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that look in the path of love, which person is being tested? Ye hai ishq mein imtihan kis bashar ka? Look at the test of love. Banaye zabiha jo apne pisar ka, who makes a sacrifice out of his very own child. In Urdu we say lakhte jigar, kaleje ka tukra, but you don't translate that in English as piece of the kidney or liver. In English you'll translate it as the apple of his eye. Kaleje ka tukra. Some people already start thinking about the kaleji of Eid day. The apple of his eye. He's prepared to sacrifice the apple of his eye. Why? Because it's the command of Allah. It doesn't appeal to anyone's sense of reasoning or understanding it. No. The fact that it's the command of Allah is enough. And that is what a lover does. He listens to be his beloved, no matter how outwardly outrageous. Outrageous I'm using, with regards to worldly beloveds. Otherwise, any hukam of Allah Ta'ala, it can't be outrageous. It is full of hikmat and wisdom. But even if a person is in love with someone, and he or she tells him or her to do something outrageous, then if he's a true lover, he doesn't look around to see who's watching, he goes ahead and does it. He goes ahead and does it. He doesn't worry about the end result of something. He does it because it's the command of his beloved. Jo aagaz mein fikre anjaam hai, tera ishq shayad abhi kham hai. So this is what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. This was the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore we must make every effort to practice upon that sunnah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, no one is saying that you can't send money abroad. He didn't send money abroad to undertake his qurbani. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also didn't do that. They did the qurbani themselves. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, then 63, he slaughtered 100 camels for himself, 100 camels. And 63 of them with his own hands, 37 Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu slaughtered on his behalf. But we should keep that spirit alive. Even if you have to send abroad, then do a little bit at least with your own hands. Eat the meat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of the 100 camels, he didn't take from one and eat. He took a little bit of the meat from all of them and cooked a curry and then partook of that. Now we've become so used to frozen meat that we can't eat fresh meat. Maulana, we can't eat, this must stay. But this is a sunnat. It is mehmani, it is you're being hosted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must practice, look, from now until then, look, there are many sunnats to read, many du'as to perform, to recite on the day of qurbani itself. But let's take out time, make extra ibadah during these 10 days and nights, and prepare ourselves spiritually. We change ourselves, we'll change the world. Don't talk about changing conditions around the world, when we can't even change what is. No one is saying those are not important. Those are also important. But it all starts here in the 6-foot body of ours. Change ourselves. This is an opportunity for us to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand, to value these 10 days and nights. Accept the sacrifice of those performing the sacrifice. Accept the hajj of those who have gone for hajj and who still be going for hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the plight, the difficulty, the calamities of the ummah around the world. May He allow all of us to open our hearts out, our pockets, to help Muslims suffering in all parts of the world. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.